We're up to Torah Pei Zayin in Likutei Moran Tanina. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 91, the left-hand column, the second paragraph on the page. This chapter in Likutei Moran is very, very interesting in that it deals on the relationship between husband and wife, both in terms of a potential husband looking for a potential wife, and also a person that's married in dealing with one's wife. And Rabbeinu Zal in this Torah is going to be discussing the whole concept of a relationship, a favorable relationship from a wife towards a husband. We'll see exactly what he's going to speak about, and we'll try to go slowly because he's going to touch on some interesting things. Now, first of all, as an introduction, there is a set of Svarim that's called the Kisvei HaArizal, the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal was one of the most famous, outstanding leaders in the study of Kabbalah. He lived in the 1500s, and he lived on this world physically for about 38 and a half years. And in his very short lifetime, he made a greater impact on the study of Kabbalah than probably any other human being that has walked the earth yet. The revelations that he made in terms of translating and interpreting the secrets of the Zohar HaKadosh, to the best of our knowledge, were not exceeded by anybody before him or after him. The Zohar HaKadosh itself, those that are familiar with it, the Zohar HaKadosh is about 75% or 80% Medrash, Gemara, it's that type of learning, and about 25% of it deals with secrets of Kabbalah, explaining different names of Hashem, explaining the different qualities of Hashem, the different attributes, how they mix together, and all kinds of different things that are considered part of these secrets of Torah. And the manner that they're presented within the Zohar HaKadosh is very cryptic, hidden, and until the Arizal came along, there were very, very few people that could understand the meaning behind what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his students that studied together these secrets of Torah, what they were really looking to express. The Arizal was given a gift by Hashem, not just a gift, it's something he worked very, very hard for, to be given these secrets, knowledge of the secrets of Torah, much more so than anybody else in his generation and or any other generations. And the fact that he lived a certain part of his life in the city of Tzfas, this is what made that city known as the city of Mekubalim, because he and the students that came after him were the foremost leaders within the study of Kabbalah at that time, and they passed on this legacy to the Hasidic culture, to Hasidism. So the Baal Shem Tov and all of his students and all of his followers, in a sense, picked up where the Arizal had left off. In what sense? Even the Arizal Sforim are known as Sifrei Kabbalah, where in the Arizal Sforim it's no longer the 75-20% ratio, it's possibly the other way, 75% Kabbalah, 25% is Drush, Gemara, Medrash, different types of interesting Chidushim that aren't specifically of a Kabbalistic nature. And the 75% of Kabbalah that's found in the writings of the Arizal teaches about different names of Hashem, different attributes of Hashem again. And the question is, what does that do for me? How do I deal with that? How does a Jew live with that? And how does it affect our way of life, Bechal? How does it affect our performance of mitzvahs and other things? And this is what the Baal Shem Tov came along, the Baal Shem Tov and his followers, including Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they came along and took the teachings of the Zohar HaKadosh and the writings of the Arizal, and they further translated that into things that could be applied to everyday living, into items that people never imagined, that these secrets of Kabbalah actually have messages in them that could be applied in a form of Musar, in a form of a Derech HaChaim, a way of life. This is what the Baal Shem Tov and many of his followers did. One example of this is in one of the earliest chapters in Likutei Moran, in Torah Vov, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, That chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal deals primarily with the subject of tshuva in a very, very deep way. It's a very long chapter with a lot of beautiful information regarding the topic of tshuva. And Rav Nosson Zal, who wrote down the Torahs of Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal says that after Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, he gave this shir, I believe it was on a Shabbos tshuva, this chapter on Likutei Moran, and then on Saturday night, Rabbeinu Zal, there were a few people standing around him, and Rabbeinu Zal said to them as a challenge, now that you all heard this shir that I've given, I challenge any of you to show me where this shir is found in the writings of the Arizal. And they all looked at him with a blank stare, because he was discussing the topic of tshuva, and how a person who wants to do tshuva has to be aware of two very important things. In order for a yid to be able to do tshuva, he has to be aware that there's no such thing as giving up hope, meaning whatever level you consider yourself to be on, no matter how far down you fall at different points in your life, person falls, he goes through a spiritual yirida, or a nefila, or a shever, rachmana litzlan, he really gets smashed to bits by the satan, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever ways it is. A person should know that no matter how low down you are, Hashem is right there with you. Kaviyochel, the light of Hashem is so bright and so great that it reaches way, way down to the lowest, lowest level possible. So that if you find yourself that far down and it seems to you that in order for you to get back to Hashem, you have to travel millions of miles, you're making a silly mistake. You don't even have to travel one inch. Kaviyochel, Hashem is right there with you in your pit, in your darkness, and all you have to do is say, I want to come back, Oshiv, I want to return, and you know that Hashem is right there, you can connect with Hashem there, and gradually pick yourself back up to where you were originally, and even go higher than that. That's one major foundation that a person has to know in order to be zeicha to tshuva. That's one point. The second point that a person has to know is that there's no such thing as ever stopping to do tshuva. That the biggest Talmud Chacham, the biggest tzaddik, is a Baal tshuva. In what sense? Baal tshuva in the sense that in order to be considered a religious Jew is one who on Sunday is not on the same level as he was on the previous day, the Shabbos before. The minute you've lived another minute of your life in this world, we assume that you've gone up a level. You're rising. A Jew is supposed to be climbing every minute, every second in his life. He's climbing to higher and higher levels of emunah, of faith in Hashem, of das, of knowledge of Hashem, knowledge of Torah, kium hamitzvos. Every minute of your life, you're supposed to be growing, going higher and higher. The higher a person goes, Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter, if today I understand the presence of Hashem and I feel Hashem's presence more than I felt it yesterday, then automatically I'm going to be ashamed to a degree of how I was serving Hashem yesterday. Because if I would have known yesterday, if I would have known Hashem's greatness yesterday as well as I know it today, I would have done things much better. Bichlal, you get a person who, let's say, he thinks that this person is a king, that this person is a mayor of a city. So he gives him a certain degree of respect. And he's talking with him and doing different things. Then somebody taps him on the shoulder and he says, you mean to say you thought that was the mayor? That wasn't the mayor, that was the president of the whole United States. Lahavdil. Person would become aware and he'd say, well, I can't believe, I would never have said the stupid things I said. If I would have known that he's the I thought he was the mayor. A mayor is to be given respect, there's no question. He's a leader of 8 million people, or that many, but not to be compared. The manner of speech, the lashonis, there's a whole standard of how you write a letter to a mayor and how you write a letter to a president. There's a different way that you address him, and there's a whole different set of rules. So too, in dealing with Hashem's greatness, if every single day I'm becoming more and more aware and more conscious of how Hashem, how great Hashem is, then it's assumed that every day I'm realizing that what I did yesterday wasn't what it should have been had I had today's knowledge. And a person is constantly feeling apologetic to a degree. I'm sorry that I didn't know yesterday what I know today. And tomorrow, I hope to be sorry that I didn't know today what I'm going to know tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So, and I'm just giving it to you in very short summary form, some of the concepts that Rabbi Nizal presents in that chapter on Likutei Moran. He gave this whole shiur, and then on a Shabbos afternoon, and then he said to one of his Talmidim on Saturday night, now show me where this whole shiur is found in the writings of the Arizal. And they couldn't answer him. These students who knew the writings of the Arizal well, no idea. We never saw anything that resembles this in the writings of the Arizal. So he took out a sitter with the kavonos of the Arizal that they had in the shul, and he pointed to a certain place in the sitter where it describes certain kavonos that the Arizal says that a Jew is supposed to have in mind during the month of Elul. The month of Elul, which is one of the main months of tshuva, the Arizal there suggests and advises a person what different names of Hashem a person is supposed to have in mind, and what different yichudim, different combinations of names of Hashem, a person is supposed to have in mind during this month of Elul. And Rabbi Nizal showed all the Talmidim there how in those yichudim that the Arizal mentions about Derech and Yaboik and Sog, different names of Hashem, how the different names of Hashem were actually the building blocks for this chapter on Likutei Moran. How those words that are being used there, Yaboik, is actually the letters Boki, referring to knowledgeable, being knowledgeable. And the Arizal there discusses the Derech, two types of Derech, and he discusses a name of Hashem called Kuf Samach Aleph, and a different name of Hashem called Sog Samach Gimel. And Rabbi Nizal showed how these names of Hashem are actually touching upon Psukim and Tehillim. One Pasuk where David HaMelech says, Im Esak Shomayim Shomato. Even if I find myself climbing as high as Shomayim, I know that Shomato, you Hashem, are still there above me. Meaning, no matter how high up I get, I still realize that there are high levels to go. And the more, as soon as I become aware of that, I feel bad and embarrassed at the level that I'm on now, and that's what gives me the strength to want to go higher and higher. And at the same time, there's a concept of Al-Tasig Gvul, Sog, this name of Hashem Sog, which represents a concept of not falling lower than where you're actually at. No matter how low you find yourself, to know that even that's a Madrega, and even as low as I am right now, Hashem is still to be found here, and I better hold on to what I have because there's still lower to go. And if I don't hold on to what I have, I'm going to go lower down, and I simply have to reach out to Hashem where I'm at now, and I can come back. That section in the writings of the Arizal is called the Soid Kavonas Elul, the secret of different kavonas, different things a Jew is supposed to have in mind during the month of Elul, these combinations of names of Hashem. That chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Vov and Chelek Aleph, is where Rabbi Nizal gave this whole shiur where he elaborated on this in a spectacular way, not in a Kabbalistic manner, but discussing Musar, a shiur in Musar about tshuva, in which was actually interwoven all of these secrets of the Kavonas of Elul. Now, in this chapter that we're going to learn tonight, Rabbi Nizal makes a reference to that whole topic. Rabbi Nizal begins by saying, Da, you should know, Shekavonas Elul, that the study of these secret Kavonas of Elul that the Arizal explains in that section in his writings in Shah Ruach HaKodesh, and also that Rabbi Nizal explains in this chapter on Likutei Moran, Heim Tikun L'Pigam HaBris. That study helps a person to correct any averos, any sins that they did related to Chilul HaBris, related to the relations between men and women, Bechlal, that whole area. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Ki Soid Kavonas Elul Hu Hanoisein Bayam Derech. Because the basis for this whole discussion in the writings of the Arizal is a pasuk in Yeshaya, where the pasuk says that one of the things that Hashem does is Hashem carves out a path in the ocean. Hanoisein bayam derech. Meaning, the Arizal explains, Lohoir bechinas derech bayam. That one of the tasks that a Jew is supposed to try to accomplish during the month of Elul is to carve out a path in the ocean. What do we mean? Va'ayin shom bekavonas kol kakavonas shalol. Look over there in the writings of the Arizal. Obviously, when Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, he was giving it to students who were knowledgeable in the writings of the Arizal. So he said to them, take a look in the writings of the Arizal, what he writes about this subject, and you'll see, you'll have an introduction to what we're about to discuss. We'll come back to this. The Iker Pigam Habris, Hu Bebechinas Derech Hazeh. When we discuss a Jew committing sins related to men and women, the sin relates to this concept of a derech, a path. Ki hoyetzorich lohoir bechinas hareish chov dalid oirois bebechinas yam. Because one of the responsibilities of a Jew is, the Arizal explains, there are 224 lights, heavenly lights, that a Jew is supposed to shine into yam, the ocean. Bechinas emuna. The yam, the ocean, represents emuna, faith in Hashem. And a Jew is supposed to shine this light into emuna. V'hu notomizeh. And when a Jew, chas v'shalom, is nichshal, in pigam abris, it means he has veered, he has gone off the road, he's gone off the track, he has wandered, drifted from this derech. Upogam bebechinas derech. And chas v'shalom, he committed a sin against this item called derech. Where do we see this? It's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah tells us that during the time of the Mabul, during the time of Noach, the men and women were conducting themselves in a very illicit way, to such an extent that even among the animals, the male and female species weren't conducting themselves properly. The Gemara talks about it, Rashi and Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Noach discusses this item. What's the wording that the pasuk uses as a general description for what took place then? The pasuk says, ki hishchis kol basar es darkoi, because man desecrated his derech. They destroyed their derech. And derech over there is the term that's used to apply to this whole association with women. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki isho nikras derech. We know that one of the nicknames that's given to women in the Torah, a woman is called a derech, a path. Kemuva bedivrei Razal, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Masecht Kiddushin, the Gemara says, darkoi shel ish lachzor achar ishtoi. The Gemara there discusses the fact that it's who's supposed to go looking for who? A husband is supposed to go searching for a wife, or a wife for a husband. And the Gemara there proves from Sukkim in the Chumash that it's the man's responsibility to go seek a wife. And the Gemara over there proves it from the use of this word derech. The word derech applies to women. The Gemara proves it over there from Sukkim. And the Gemara shows that it's the derech of a man to go seek out his wife. That's one of the places in the Torah where we find the term derech applied to a woman. V'yesh derech acher. Rabbeinu Zal says, so this is the derech of Kiddusha. This is when things are being done properly, the right way. V'yesh derech acher. There is another type of derech. There's a wrong type of derech. Bechinas derech isho mina ephes. The posuk in Mishlei discusses the path of a woman who commits sins, Rachmona Litzlon. So we see the term derech is used in a positive sense and also in a negative sense. V'haklal, and Rabbeinu Zal says, the bottom line, to summarize what the Arizal discusses over there, she'ikr ha'pigam bebechinas derech, that when a Jew commits sins related to pigam abris, the main thing that he has desecrated is his derech. He has sinned against the derech. Sheloiheir haderech bayam. He has not shined the derech into the yam. This is what the Arizal discusses there. Ulefomim, and at times, machmazeh hapigam, because of this sin, yuchal la'avoid es zivugoi. It's possible for a Jew to actually forfeit his zivug, to lose his zivug, chas v'shalom, where normally the Gemara tells us that a husband and wife, originally, in heaven, these two neshamos start out as one. A husband and wife on this world are actually one neshama above. When this neshama is sent down to this world, it's sent down as two parts, a male and female. And it becomes the mission of the zohar to go seek out his other half, which is the wife. Rabbi Nizal says here, you should know that through Pegama Bris, it's possible for a person to lose his wife, or for it to become very, very difficult to find his wife. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki me'achar shenoto mizivugoi, because once the person has walked away or turned away from his zivug, it becomes very difficult for him to find his wife. When a person commits sins in this area, it's considered as if he's walking away from his wife, from his potential zivug. He's supposed to be moving towards her direction. There's this derech of kedusha. If he latches on to the derech of klipa, the wrong derech, pegama bris, every step he takes in the wrong direction, he's walking away from his correct zivug. Va'afilu im yimtzo es zivugoi, and even if this person will end up finding his correct zivug, tihi eloi menagedes, she will be against him. V'loisihi em mate acharitzoinoi, and she will not find it within herself to want to listen to what he wants her to do, to want to adhere or humble herself, to assume, to accept his authority. Why? Machmas shenoto mimeno, because he has turned away from her, veloyheir bo, and he didn't shine into her what he was supposed to. Mize nishave sheyesh lo rotzein achar kenegdoi, and that's what created a desire in her against him. Because of the fact that he didn't make the right connection, and he turned away from her through his averos in this area, as a result of his turning away from her, he disconnected himself from her, automatically. Rabbi Nizal discusses three possibilities here so far. He could either lose his zivug completely, where he won't be able to find her, or he could make it very difficult for himself to find her. That's the second possibility. The third possibility is that even if he finds her and marries her, their relationship will be such where she will not be nichna to him. She will not want to fulfill his rutzin, his desire. V'oz, and then the Gemara says, loizocho kenegdoi. If a husband is not zeiche, his wife opposes him. The Gemara says that when Hashem first created Adam and Chava, when it came to the creation of Chava, Hashem said to the Malachim, "E'ese loy ezer kenegdoi. Let me create ezer, a help, kenegdoi, opposite him." The Gemara darshans, which is it? Which is a wife? Is she someone that helps the husband? Or does she oppose him? Opposite is miloshin, to oppose, to go against him. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, Zocho nasis loyezer, loy zocho nasis kenegdoi. If a man is zoiche, his wife becomes a helper to him, an assistant. If he's not zoiche, she becomes kenegdoi. His wife becomes an opposing force to him. She works against him. So this is the first point Rabbi Nizal makes in this chapter. Now Rabbi Nizal says, the Chodesh Elul, and the month of Elul, she'oz yecholin lasaken ze, during that month, a person can correct this. Ulohoir haderech bayam kanal, that's the month in which the Arizal says, a Jew can shine this light of derech into the yam. And now in parentheses, Alkein kavonas Elul heim tikkun lazeh, because we find that the kavonas of Elul serve as a tikkun for pegama bris. Ukishem esakein zeh, when a Jew corrects whatever he has to correct in this area, azai moitzei zivugoi, then, number one, he will find his correct zivug. If this person is not married, or if chas v'shalom a person is married to the wrong zivug, which can happen, then the person will be zeicher to find his correct, the right zivug. Vehi eino kenegdoi, and she will not be against him. Rak kiritzoinoi, she will be with him. She will be along his line of thinking. So Rabbi Nazal says here, now just to give a short explanation, we know on a simple level, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and it's brought throughout the Sifrei Musar, that the word Elul is the Rosh Tevois, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. This sentence in Shir HaShirim, which says, Doidi means my beloved, my friend. I am Ani L'Doidi, I am to my beloved, V'Doidi Li, and my beloved is to me. This represents a good relationship between two, where one feels for the other one and the other one returns this feeling back. There's a reciprocation, that it's not just a one-way kind of thing, but the feeling is mutual. There's a mutual ahava working in both directions. That's this concept that we're talking about, of a husband and wife, where the feeling is where she feels towards him the way she's supposed to feel towards him. Naturally, we're talking about where he feels towards her the way he's supposed to. But specifically here, we're assuming that the husband has the leading role and the wife is nichna to his rotzon, if and when his rotzon is the proper rotzon, if he has the proper desires and if he wants the right things for both of them. This concept of ani l'doidi v'doidi li also corresponds to the concept of tshuva that Rabbi Nazal discusses in that chapter. Ani l'doidi represents a concept of the Jews reaching up to Hashem, a concept of us trying to climb up to Hashem. V'doidi li is a concept of Hashem reaching down to us. When we find ourselves in a very low place and we find ourselves so weak that we can't reach up to Hashem, there's this concept of v'doidi li, that kaviyochel, Hashem reaches down to us. This is the whole vikuach that the Gemara says between Hashem and the Yidden. The Yidden say to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecho v'noshuva, you Hashem, please return us to you. In other words, you pull us towards yourself. You bring us close to you. And the Gemara says, Hashem says to the Yidden, Shuvo Eilai v'oshuva aleichem, you return to me, and I'll return to you. You make the first move, and I'll make the second move. This is a constant vikuach between the Jews and Hashem, who makes the first move. When a Yid is in a good mood, in a happy frame of mind, naturally he's the one that's running. He's chasing Hashem. He's trying to reach up to Hashem to go to higher and higher levels. When a Yid is down, he's mispalel that Hashem should lift him out of his low place that he finds himself and bring him up to Hashem, you know, up to whatever level he's supposed to be on. Rabbi Nazal says now, v'yesh boze soid nifla. There is a spectacular secret in what we just said, a wondrous secret in what we just said. This message about the month of Elul having in it a power to help a person to actually find their correct zivug, or even if they're married, for a person to be zeicher that their zivug, their mate, should accept their authority and that the relationship should be a proper one, where she is supportive of him, not where she opposes him, chas v'shalom. Why? Rabbi Nazal explains now, kidah, you should know, shezeh hasoid mosar Avraham le'eliezer avdoi, the Torah tells us that when Yitzchok Avinu was becoming of age to get married, Avram Avinu gave instructions to Eliezer, his servant, to go seek out a mate, a wife, for Yitzchok Avinu. Now Rabbi Nazal says, Hainu soid kavonas elul shehem misugolam latikan abris shalideze moitzin hazivuk. Within this whole story of Avram Avinu giving instructions to Eliezer to go find the wife for Yitzchok Avinu is hidden a reference to this secret related to Elul, which is Mesugol to Tikkun HaBris. Knowing this knowledge regarding the secret of the month of Elul helps a person be zeichet to Tikkun HaBris. And through a Jew achieving Tikkun HaBris, this will help him find his correct Zivuk. Because through this Tikkun, there is created within the woman, within the girl, there is created a desire towards her husband, a positive feeling, a yearning, and a certain acceptance of the authority of her husband. Because in the beginning, when this person wasn't at the right level that he was supposed to be in Tikkun HaBris, his wife was not leaning towards him in any way. She wasn't supportive of him. She wasn't receptive of him. Ki notzo mimenu kanal, because she turned away from him. We explained through Pigam HaBris, a person is turning away, he's taking steps away from his zivug. So automatically his wife is not facing him, she's not towards him. And because of this, the person finds it difficult or impossible to find his zivug. And even if he does find his zivug, she does not lean towards accepting his authority, towards complying with what he wants her to comply with. But through getting to understand, through getting to know the secret of this kavonas elul, this piece of information that the Arizal presents in his writings, which Rabbeinu Zal explains much more in Torah Vav, which we haven't gotten to yet. We just touched on it. We didn't explain yet in detail what this is talking about. But through getting to know that shehem tikkun lazeh, that affects a tikkun for Pigam HaBris, for anything a Jew has done wrong in Pigam HaBris, al yidei zeh chozar venase bo rotzein elo. Through that, there is created inside of her a positive feeling towards him, towards her husband, towards the one, towards her zivug. Vezeh hasoid mevur b'toira b'parshas Eliezer. Rabbeinu Zal says, this secret is found in the Chumash, in the place in the Chumash where it discusses Avram Avinu sending Eliezer to find the zivug for Yitzchak Avinu. Why? Ki Avraham mosar loy hasoid hazeh. Avram Avinu gave over to his servant Eliezer this secret information. Vezeh she'omar Avram l'Eliezer. This is why we find in the Chumash that Avram Avinu said to his servant Eliezer, Eliezer said, you're giving me this mission to go find the wife of Yitzchak Avinu. What if I find a girl and I think she's the right one and she doesn't want to come along? She's not interested. What do I do then? Avram Avinu said to Eliezer these words, Ve'im loy soive ho'isho lo leches achrecho, if the woman will not want to follow you, these were his words, if the woman will not want to follow you. Rabbeinu Zal says, Re'ei v'habeit niflois teresenu, take a look and observe the wondrous miracles in our Torah. Ki roshei tevois posuk zeh heim oisiois elul. Because the first letters of this posuk in the Chumash make up the word elul. Ve'im loy, and then lo leches achrecho, make up the word elul. Aleph lamed vov lamed. Ube'emtza, the two middle words that aren't within this elul, the two middle words, heim tevois soive ho'isha. Those two words are, the woman will want. On the outside, you have the letters Elul. On the inside, you have the words, Soive Ho'isha. The woman will want. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Kal Yidei Bechinas Elul, because through the concept of Elul, Hainu Soid Kavonas Elul, referring specifically to this chapter in the writings of the Arizal, where he reveals this secret information regarding the month of Elul, Ali Dezeh Soive Ho'isha. A person learning that, and knowing that, and living with that, that person can be Zeche that the woman will want. This creates within the woman a desire for her husband, a positive desire to want to come towards him, to want to help him, to want to serve him, and to want to help him in every way. Nimtza, we see from this, Shebe'elu ha'tevois ba'atzmon shediber Avraham im Eliezer, that in these words themselves, which Avraham Avinu spoke to Eliezer, me'inyin hachshash shemaloi tisratz leilech achrov, regarding this fear that Eliezer had, that maybe she won't want to come with me, within those words, dahainu ma she'omar loi v'imloi soivo isha leilech asachrecha, in those words where Avraham Avinu repeated, and if the woman will not want to come with you, Be'elu hatevois atzmon gilaloi soid hatikin laze. In those words, Avram Avinu hid this secret message as to how Eliezer should deal with the problem. Because what Avram Avinu did end up saying there was, he said, if she won't want to come with you, then you'll be free of my shavua. Avram Avinu had actually made Eliezer swear that he's going to do everything in his power to find the correct zivuk to Yitzchak Avinu. Eliezer said, what if I find her and she won't want to come with me? Avraham Avinu said, then you're free. Does that sound like the right answer? Rabbi Nazal explains that in Avraham Avinu's words, when Avraham Avinu went ahead and repeated Eliezer's words, and he said, and if the woman won't want to come with you, why did he have to say that? The Torah doesn't waste words. Why would Avraham Avinu go ahead? He could have just said, then you're free. Why did Avraham Avinu go ahead and repeat, and if the woman will not want to come with you? In those words, Avraham Avinu hid secret information for Eliezer to get to know that there is a secret formula in the Torah where if you know this item, this could help you tremendously in looking for a zivug or bechlal and shalom bayis in this whole item. What is it? It's this soid kavona selul, this secret regarding the month of Elul. Hamarumas Baroshe Tevois, which is hidden in these first letters, Shehu Hatikun Lazer. That's a tikkun for this item. Shaideze Soive Hoisha. Through this, the woman will want, she will be willing to go along with you, both in terms of a person finding their zivug, and also in terms of a person that's married, and the relationship with the wife isn't the way it's supposed to be. There isn't shalom bayis. She's not supportive of him in the right areas, and he wants to turn it around. This is the secret of how to turn it around. Rabbi Nazal says now, Va'oid yesh bozeh soidois noiroi ma'oid. There are wondrous secrets, awesome secrets, in this subject that we're discussing here. Gam, also, Ayin b'maymar hamaschil v'yemar Hashem al Moshe kroes Yehoshua. If you'll take a look in the chapter of Likutei Moran that we talked about earlier, this Torah of Vov and Likutei Moran and Chelek Aleph that begins with the words kroes Yehoshua, kishom medaber mikavon haselul. In that chapter, Rabbi Nazal discusses in detail the secret, the explanation to these kavonas of Elul. And this is also a major tikkun for pigama bris, any sins that a Jew has committed in that area. Hainu, what do we mean? What's a tikkun for pigama bris? Hainu la'ayin bo'isay ha'maymar, to study that chapter in Likutei Moran, v'lizkois lahavin boy, and to get to understand it as well as you can, and to be zeicha to do some type of mitzvah, some type of good deed, as a result of learning that chapter on the Likutei Moran, and learning everything that that deals with, to be zeicha to do something with it, actual mitzvahs, or actual avodas Hashem, as a result of having that knowledge, through this, the person will be zeicha to perfect and correct anything that they've done wrong in Pigama Bris. Baruch Hashem. This is this chapter on Likutei Moran. So to review outside for a minute, Rabbi Nazal started off by telling us, you should know that there is a section in the writings of the Arizal called the Soid Kavona Selul, which serves as a tikkun for Pigama Bris. Certain sins, we know that Bechlal, a Jew does a sin, you have to do tshuva for the sin. There are different forms of tshuva. There's tshuva, giving tzedakah is a form of tshuva for certain sins. The Shulchan Aruch says, if a person chas v'shalom drops their tefillin in a certain way, if you do it in a certain way, you have to fast a whole day, and that's your form of tshuva for this sin. In a certain different way, you have to give 18 cents, $18 to tzedakah, or all kinds of different types of forms of tshuva for different things. Rabbi Nezal says, you should know that part of this inyan of tshuva for pigama bris is learning this part of the Torah. Learning the part of the Torah that deals with the soid kavona selol. And he gives us a very short overview of what that's about. He doesn't go into the full detail. That's discussed more elaborately in Torah Vov in Likutei Moran. There Rabbi Nezal discusses this more in detail. And he touches on some references to Tikkun HaBris related to this, the fact that the Arizal bases the whole Soid Kavona Selol on a pasuk Hanoisein Bayam Derech. Rabbi Nezal just gave us a couple of references to show how Derech refers to women, either in a positive sense, a negative sense, Bichlal. Then Rabbi Nezal said, now the question is, when a person, Chas v'Shalom, has been pegim in the bris, what's one of the problems that comes out as a result of it? Well, one of the simple things that happens is that the person, Chas v'Shalom, moves away from his zivug. And this could show itself in different forms. Either, chas v'shalom, if the person isn't married yet, the person could actually move away from his own zivug, physically or mentally or spiritually, where, chas v'shalom, he could make it either impossible or very difficult for him to hook up with his zivug. We find that there are people that go through all kinds of very, very, very difficult items in searching for and seeking out their correct zivug. And some of that could possibly have to do with this item. Could be within this Gilgul, could be in previous Gilgulim, Chas v'Shalom, a person did certain items related to Pigama Bris, which could make it very difficult for the person to find their correct zivug, number one. Or even if they do find their correct zivug, we know that there are many people, especially in today's generation, which husband can say that things with his wife are exactly the way they should be, where he finds her totally supportive of all the good things that he wants to do, all the right things that he wants to do. Question is, where does that come from? Why isn't she? Why is it this way? Rabbi Nezal says here that one of the possible reasons could be as a result of pigama bris on the part of the husband, which this is considered to be an act of turning away from the wife. You turn away from her, she's turned away from you automatically. She doesn't feel positive towards you, and certainly doesn't feel subservient to you in terms of accepting your authority. However, Rabbi Nezal says there is a tikkun for it. And this tikkun was hidden in a message that Avraham Avinu gave to Eliezer, his servant, in seeking out the zivug for Yitzchak Avinu. Picture giving somebody a mission, I want you to find the right girl. How am I supposed to find the right girl? How am I supposed to pick? How does any Jew in this world go looking to find the girl he's supposed to marry if you can't look at neshamos? And you don't know, is she actually my other half? How am I supposed to figure that out? Supposed to flip a coin? Supposed to try out 30 girls, 300? How do I know that she's not 301? Or if I go out with 1,000 girls, how do I know that she's not number 1,001? How is a person supposed to figure this thing out? The answer is, naturally, it involves tefillah. A person has to beg Hashem, show me who is the right girl for me to marry. Show me who the other part of my zivug is. And number two, Rabbi Nezal points out here that through tikkun HaBris, by a person fixing whatever they have to, this could make it very easy for one to find their correct zivug, where she comes towards him. We find by Eliezer, did he end up finding her? No, she made a move towards him. She approached him and offered to fill his cup, etc. There was a whole test there. There's a whole story there where she came to him in a sense. He went looking for her, but the final move, she took a move towards him. How does a person get to this madrega? Rabbi Nezal says, through the Soid Kavona Selol, which is an inyan of Tikkun HaBris, as was alluded to in Avraham Avinu's words there. In code, Avraham Avinu was telling Avraham Avinu, if she won't be willing to come, in those words he hid the fact that I'm going to give you a secret formula through which she will be able to come. The formula is this inyan of Tikkun HaBris. By being knowledgeable, aware of this secret of the Kavonas of Elul, this helps you to be Misakin Tikkun HaBris, and this will help make it that she will come along with you. And we see in the story of Yitzhak Avinu, her parents even tried to talk her out of it. The Torah itself says that they tried every trick in the book to try to get her not to want to go along with Eliezer, to delay it and everything. And she said, not interested. I want to go with him. I don't want to delay. I don't want to do anything. She went along very willingly. And naturally, becoming the mother of Yaakov Avinu, she gave birth to the whole Klal Yisrael in a sense. Yitzhak and Rivka actually gave birth to Yaakov Avinu, which was the source of all the Yud Bei Shvotim, the whole Klal Yisrael. Their relationship, Yitzchak and Rivka, was one of perfection. The Meforshim tell us that Yitzchak plus Rivka is Begimatria Tefillah. They represented the perfection of Tefillah. They represented many, many other spectacular items in terms of Kedusha. This is pretty much the point that Rabbeinu Zal is putting across in this chapter. Any questions on what we had so far?
Aside from the learning of these items, what comes out of here, let's say, in a Lamaisa way?
Three items. Number one, Tikkun HaBris, Lamaisa, all the items related to that, all the laws in Shulchan Aruch that relate to that, in terms of what a man is supposed to look at, what he's not supposed to look at, the closeness or the distance that men are supposed to keep from women, Bechlal, Befrat, all the laws of Tznius that are discussed in Shulchan Aruch, between a husband and wife even, all items related to Tikkun HaBris that are discussed throughout the Gemara, throughout the Shulchan Aruch, in many, many places. We're talking about accomplishing all of those items, following those items. That's all included within this package called Tikkun HaBris. Tikkun HaBris also relates to not speaking against tzaddikim, because a tzaddik is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. The Zohar HaKadosh says, man tzaddik, man denotar bris. Which Jew in the Chumash received this title tzaddik? Yosef HaTzaddik. And Yosef is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris, the one who passed the first most difficult test that a Jew was ever put through in terms of relations between men and women. When Potiphar's wife attacked him, as we just had coincidentally in this week's Parsha, that whole story, and Yosef HaTzaddik passed the test. That's how he achieved this title of tzaddik, through his Shmiras HaBris, through Tikkun HaBris. And because a tzaddik represents Tikkun HaBris, disgracing a tzaddik, speaking out against him, Chas V'Shalom, in any way, that also constitutes Chilul HaBris, Chas V'Shalom. It's another example of it. So we're talking about Tikkun HaBris L'maisa. Also, Rav Nosson Zal referenced that in terms of studying that chapter on Likutei Moran that deals with the Kavonas of Elul, and if a person could bring himself to do mitzvahs, to do good deeds, as a result of what he's going to see in that chapter, that's also an inyan of being Mekayim, this Soid Kavonas Elul.
What chapter did you say it was?
It's chapter Torah Vov, the sixth chapter in the first half of Likutei Moran. We don't have much time now to go into it. And Mitzvah Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to give a summary of what in that chapter is related to what we just learned, number one. Plus, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to incorporate some things from Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal shows how does this apply to every single Jew, Lamaisa, and shows some beautiful connections within the Chumash, within the Torah, showing how this whole item comes into play. Any other?
If there's an actual bias, does that show that this program is
either
some?
That certainly could be a cause of it, 100%. As Rabbeinu Zal is definitely telling us here, that it is possible that any time there is a situation between husband and wife where she is not supportive of him in the right areas, again, we're not talking about where a husband wants to do an Avera and a wife opposes him. That's not, she's doing the right thing. He's talking about a situation here, assuming that the husband is religious, is righteous, and assuming that the husband is the religious authority within that family. Assuming that he's the one that should be taking the leading role within that family in terms of religion. And he finds himself in a situation where his wife is kenegdo, she's against him, versus being an Ezer, versus being for him. Rabbeinu Zal says he should know that it's possible that it's as a result of Pegam HaBris, because that's one of the things that it causes. Pegam HaBris represents veering away from your zivul. She veers away from you, and automatically you're on two different tracks. You're not communicating. You want one thing, she wants it. Why? If you're two halves of one neshama, how is it conceivable that she would want it? Is your right hand going to smack your left hand? A normal person. Is his right hand going to bend the fingers of his left hand back and look for pain? Ridiculous. If we're two halves of an neshama, how is it rational to say that the wife would be opposing the husband in terms of positive things? It could possibly only be because of the fact that he moved away from her. He has distanced himself from her through certain averos that he's done. As a result, that makes it possible for her not to recognize him in a sense. Not necessarily openly, but unconsciously or subconsciously, she doesn't know him. He's moved away from her, she's away from him. He wants one thing, she doesn't know what he wants to be what she wants. And that could be the cause of this.
In the Messianic Age, Rav Kaplan has predicted that women will have an ascendancy role and they will be leading men into positions of courtship. How do you feel about that scenario?
I would want to modify that. Rabbi Kaplan, Zichrono Livracha, has not predicted it. He quoted the Arizal. The Arizal did make such a statement. The Arizal said that shortly before the coming of Mashiach, the women that will be around then will be reincarnations of the women that were around during the time of Mitzrayim, when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim. And just as the Torah tells us that they took the leading role then, that they were the bigger tzidkanios in a sense, the Gemara and the Medrash write several outstanding items that the women did at that time in how they took leading roles in positive directions in terms of Yiddishkeit. The Arizal says as a result of that, their reward will be in a sense that they're going to have leading roles also in this Dor.
And on the level of scholarship, will they ascend to the higher levels of commitment?
I don't know. But I know that this item that I mentioned is mentioned in the writings of the Arizal, that just as they showed themselves, they proved themselves then to be noshim tzidkonios, that's the wording that the Gemara uses, that's part of the reason why they are going to be privileged to have a much more leading role to an extent now than they normally would or normally should. We'll hold it over here for now. And Mitzvah Shem, in the next shiur, hopefully we're going to clarify what is this Soid Kavanah Seol to a degree, and we'll see what other things we can do to shed light on this.